Father, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And we pray this morning that you would just speak into our hearts, that we would leave today somehow transformed and molded more into your image. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy new year again. New Year's is really, it's a wonderful time. It's a new beginning. We have a chance to kind of put aside the past and look forward to the year ahead. As we enter this year, we have an opportunity to just kind of think about how the past year went. You know, for some, 2025 may have been a really difficult year. It may have been a year where you struggled with your health, where you grieved the loss of a loved one, or you faced other challenges. And, you know, when you're going through hard times, you know, it's difficult to imagine that things could possibly get better. You know, some refuse to accept the possibility of change. You know, I remember a family friend that we had, and he had a horrible year. So it was a year where he underwent 5 cataract surgeries, and he wondered if he was going to be able to continue to see. And that same year, he lost a huge sum of money through bad investments. And at the end of it, even though he was still a relatively young man, you know, he just said there was no point in living. I want to die. And when you go through things like that, it feels like life can't change. Now, some of you may not have faced struggles in 2025, but you feel stuck and have stopped dreaming. Stop dreaming about possibilities. You are existing, but not exactly thriving, wondering if life has anything new for you. Whatever your situation, God specializes in new beginnings. In fact, this is actually one of the major themes found in Scripture. Story after story describes human beings confronting all kinds of hardships, barrenness, sickness, loss of property, rejection by society, drought, oppression by the demonic, even death. But God has a way of resurrecting even those who have faced the toughest trials, promising in Joel 2:25 to restore the years the locusts have eaten. And so as we explore the possibilities of new beginnings today, I invite you to turn into your Bibles to Jeremiah 37, 7 through 14, our Old Testament reading today. So Jeremiah 37, 7 through 14. Now, in this passage, the prophet is speaking a word of encouragement to the Israelites who had been sent into exile. So the Babylonians had attacked Israel and resettled the people into foreign lands where they were now being held captive. Many died. Families were divided and forced to live with customs that they didn't understand. And separated from the temple, they felt as if God had completely abandoned them. It's hard for us to understand exactly what the Israelites were going through at that time. When the Japanese attacked this country in 1941, Americans were not resettled in Japan and forced to live there. But the Israelites were sent away to a culture that was every bit as different to them as Japan would be for us. Had God now overlooked them? Had his covenant with them now been abolished? Would the Israelites continue to be a people? Or would they dissolve into the Babylonian population and become extinct as so many peoples before them had done? Jeremiah's prophecy begins calling this forgotten people the chief of all nations in verse 7. And how ironic, this small, insignificant people being called the chief of the nations. But it was God's vision for Israel that they would be the chief of the nations. Even though they were on the verge of extinction, God continued to have a vision for them. He would transform them and give them a new beginning. In verse 8, the Lord announced, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest places of the earth. And then they would no longer be held captive in a foreign land. And even those who suffered the most would now find their situations transformed. The blind and the lame and those with children and those in labor would all find their rest. And God invites us into a new beginning as well, all of us. No matter how horrible your past may be, no matter how difficult this year may have been, there's always an opportunity for a new beginning. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah said elsewhere in the Old Testament. Because of the Lord's great compassion, we are not consumed, no matter how bad our situations have been. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And consequently, we can wake up each morning knowing that God has compassion on us anew. He's ready to forgive, and he's ready to bless us, no matter what we've gone through. In Christ, we are his children, and he wants to bless us, not do us harm. When we used to travel to Texas to see my parents, we always tried to get an early start on the road. And it would be pitch black when we would leave. But as we drove, we would begin to see these little glimmers of light in the distance. And that glimmer would grow more and more strong until finally the sun appeared. And it serves as a reminder that no matter how bleak and dark comes, that God is always faithful to us. You know, that this amazing, captivating event is the beginning of each new day. It's always there, and it's a reminder that God is always ready to shine his resurrection light into our lives. God loves to restore things that are lost. And nothing is too great that can't be brought back. But new beginnings are not just about restoring things. It's about restoring the most central relationship that we have on this earth. And that is our relationship with the Lord. You know, more than 2,000 years ago, three wise men, foreigners from a far-off land living in spiritual darkness, looked up at a brightly lit object, a star, that led them to search for a newborn king, the baby Jesus, who would change their lives forever. They would never be the same. As we start this new year, we need a fresh encounter with that same Jesus that will shake our lives up. Only a fresh encounter with God's only Son can help us to set new priorities for our lives in the same way that it did for the wise men. God speaks to us in all kinds of expected ways. In fact, he's always speaking to us, but we must be in a place to be able to hear and to see. When Jeremiah pronounced the return of the Israelites to their home, he described how they would come back as weeping in verse 9. Weeping not out of sadness, but out of a realization that they had found their true heart's desire. God would once again be the father of Israel. You know, sometimes we've experienced those same kinds of feelings of homecoming when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And this may occur when we're worshiping the Lord or when we're partaking in communion or perhaps when we're at home just praying alone. And these are tears of homecoming and a realization that our true heart's desire is not the things of this world, but God. God is our home and the true longing of our hearts. Don't despise these tears. They are a gift of the Lord. New beginnings always start with a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, when Jeremiah promised a new beginning for the Israelites, not only would their circumstances be restored, and not only would their relationship with God be made right, but they would know joy once again. In verse 10, the Lord speaks to the nations. And these are the nations who made fun of Israel, who said that they were worthless and they were as good as dead. And he proclaims, "The Israelites shall come back, and when they do, they will sing aloud on the height of Zion." And then using words that remind us of Psalm 30, the Lord adds, "And then the young women rejoice in dance, and the young men and old shall be merry. And I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for their sorrow." Nothing delights the Lord more than seeing his people joyful. He wants you to be joyful. God doesn't take pleasure in our pain or affliction. He wants us to be joyful. But we can't be joyful if we're held captive. Even if we know Jesus, all too often we live trapped in the past. We feel guilty for the things that we've done. We don't feel we're worthy or capable of finding new beginnings in our lives. In Richard Hoffler's book, Will Daylight Come? He tells the story of a boy who is visiting his grandparents. And they had given him his first slingshot. And he used to practice with the slingshot in the woods, but he wasn't particularly good at hitting the target. And one day, as he's coming back from just playing in the woods with his slingshot, he sees a pet duck that his grandmother had. And he, just out of impulse, he aimed it and let go, and it hit. The duck was dead. So the boy panicked, and he desperately hid the dead duck in a wood pile, only to look up and see his sister looking at him. And she didn't say anything at the time. But after lunch, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes together." And after lunch, Grandma said this, but Sally said, "Oh, that's okay. Johnny wants to do it today." And then she whispered into Johnny's ear, "Remember the duck." So he did the dishes. And later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. But Grandma said, "Well, I'm sorry, Sally can't go because she's got to help me to prepare dinner." And then Sally said, "Oh, that's okay. Johnny wants to help prepare dinner for you." And he whispered to him, "Remember the duck." Well, after several days of Johnny doing both his chores and her chores, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he came to his grandmother and he let her know. He let her know what he had done. And his grandmother said, "You know, I know that. I saw this happen at the window. And I want to let you know that I love you and I forgive you." And she hugged him. And she forgave him because of love. And then she said, "I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." So what are the things in your life that are making you a slave? Are there people that have hurt you that you need to forgive? You know, I can tell you from personal experience that you can't get on with your life until you've dealt with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness breeds into contempt and resentment and will affect all of your relationships over time. Being set free will require forgiving, but it's difficult, especially if the other party refuses to show any remorse for what they have done. But that is what Christ did for us. He offered his life for us, even though we were still enemies. And this is what love is all about. And so new beginnings start with forgiving others. But some of us are slaves to other things, habits or behaviors that maybe have become addictions over the years. Things that we're doing, or perhaps things that we're not doing. Is there anything in your life in which the Holy Spirit is tugging on you to change? Go before the Lord and bare your soul. Ask the Lord if there is anything. Or if there is something, you can be honest before the Lord. You can truly lay your life before him. He already knows it, but you may not admit it to yourself. And that's why it's so important. And so be honest with him. Be honest with yourself about the need to change. And you may find it helpful to recruit a friend that you trust to help hold you accountable. You don't have to live the same way anymore. Joy comes out of being set free, out of the realization that the past has been erased and a new life has blossomed. And that new beginning starts not just when we give our lives to Christ the first time, but every time we come back to the Lord. God chose Israel from all the peoples of the earth to be his own. When they rebelled against him by breaking his covenant and began worshiping the gods of the nation around them, they faced the consequences of their action and were sent into exile. But despite their rebellion, God did not forget them. He did not delete them from history, but he promised to restore them. God could have chosen another people, but he didn't. He would restore them because that's his nature. He is always faithful to his people. And the same is true with us. God is faithful in his relationship to us. When we rebel against him, we may pay the consequences for it, but God doesn't forget us. When we give our lives to Jesus, we become his children forever. And even if we rebel after that, he still loves us and is so faithful that he wants to restore us with new beginnings. In verses 9 and 10 of this passage, the Lord describes himself as Jesus will later call himself, the Good Shepherd. Listen to this language. I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path by which they shall not stumble. And then in verse 10, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. We are God's flock. All of us, every one of us, even if we've strayed, he wants us back. He has not forgotten us. The new year is an opportunity for a new start. There's no use dwelling on the past. Our Lord's hands are open, ready to embrace us. It's time for a new beginning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this new year. And as we just come before you this morning, we ask for the grace to be able to hear and to see you. Lord, reveal one thing this morning that you want to change in us. And whatever that is, just lay that before the Lord and be honest with him. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just lay it before the Lord. Give us the grace to be transformed. Give us a year where we, where our lives can be so transformed that we bear much fruit for your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.